B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hour number two on this lovely Wednesday. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5 Sports Up, simulcast on NBC Sports Boston.
Already got an hour down, huh?
Does that make you feel good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Three to go.
617-779-0985. I heard Felger say this. I don't need to play it or anything. I'm just going to tell you what he said. Michael Bennett will not be an internal problem for the Patriots. He will be an external problem.
I agree.
I do, too.
I do. I totally do.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does.
They'll be able to handle whatever the issues are.
Because we need, like,
right?
It's like, look at Kyrie and whether the stuff that's infiltrating the Celtics with the Kyrie Irving stuff is real or not. But, like, on the outside, you think it's so much bigger than what it is.
Yeah.
And because they're going to internalize stuff. They're going to circle the wagons. You're not going to get any information from them. And you're just going to, I wonder what Bennett's doing. Is he going to kneel down? Is he going to stand? Is he going to do this or that? Is he meeting with Belichick and Brady? Did he iron that stuff out? I'm with you on it. I'm with Felger on it, too. It's going to be an outside problem, not an inside problem.
Why
does it have to be a problem?
Why, what?
Because he can't grow up at some point? Like, why does it have to be a problem?
No, because he's been sort of a pain in the ass.
Been a pain in the ass everywhere he is.
Absolutely. He's had his detractors everywhere he's gone.
It's almost like
he's had teammates that don't like him everywhere he's gone.
Yeah, it's almost like he needs to be that pain in the ass. Like, some guys
that's what his personality is. I can sort of relate to that.
Yeah.
So, I understand.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
So, all right. He's going to be a guy you just got to deal with. It's not going to be a big issue inside. So even him wanting to sit down and talk about Donald Trump with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. You think that phases those two?
No.
All right, Michael, what do you want to say? I don't see that as being any sort of issue. I do see it being an issue with other people, though, with fans. I agree with Felger on that part. There are fans that are going to have issues with this guy.
Yeah.
There will be people that will not take Michael Bennett just as the football player, that they will then have opinions about Michael Bennett, the person. And there's plenty of meat on that bone.
Yeah.
He's had plenty of issues already off the field that you can look at and say, what kind of person is this?
There's been so many
people. What is this guy's
deal? There's been people that come through the program that have had issues that they've either brought in through the draft or free agency, and you deal with it and you try and keep it quiet. I mean, the Hernandez stuff got new life today. And to think that there was no track record of him having issues in Florida and that yet. You try and keep it quiet. You try and get the kid to play football. That's the way the league runs, man. It's just you find out more with other teams. You find out less with the Patriots, obviously.
Yeah.
They do a good job keeping it turned.
I've also started to rethink something.
What's that?
I was initially, and I know you were too. We both said the same thing. We're out on Martellus Bennett coming back for a return. Would Martellus Bennett make Michael Bennett more manageable if his brother was?
I think I was more in on than you were out on Bennett.
I was out on it.
Yeah.
And the only reason I'm going to be back in on this, because I think he's just 2 years removed from playing. And the last time he was playing, he wasn't really playing because he was starting to really break down.
He actually put out a thing of him squatting and working out the other day.
Did he?
On Twitter.
Good for him.
Go back to where we started the show. If bringing Martellus Bennett back means that Gronk is more likely to play, does that make you back in on that?
Yes.
So a couple of things have put me on the side of fine, bring him in. One is, does Rob Gronkowski view that as a guy who's helping lighten his load? And whether that is Martellus Bennett or maybe some other free agents that are out there, Tyler Eifert, Jared Cook, players like that.
No, I think it's more so than
Bennett. Okay, I'm just saying.
I'm just sitting there. When you look at this guy.
If they bring in another tight end, does Rob Gronkowski look at that positively as in, okay, there's someone else to sort of take the burden of playing the position. I don't have to play every snap. And if that guy for him is Martellus Bennett because he's played here and there's a relationship there and they worked well together.
And what's been a big word for Gronkowski over the past couple of years? Fun.
Fun.
He's on record saying, I've never had as much fun playing football as I've had in a locker room or in a meeting room with Martellus Bennett.
So if it's the Rob Gronkowski factor, and it's also if you bring in the brother, there's sort of a check on crazy Michael Bennett over there.
You guys both behave. You're best friends. We know.
Well, here's the thing.
Books, all that.
Martellus Bennett's been here.
Right.
Martellus Bennett knows how it is to function here within that locker room, under that head coach, and he did a really good job of balancing having a personality, saying what it is he wanted to say, and not running afoul of Bill Belichick's rules.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Wasn't he someone who sort of figured out that balance pretty quickly?
Yeah, and I think he
offered more when
respect.
He spoke
yep.
than just about any other player.
Yeah.
Yet never really seemed to say something that would get him in trouble.
Right. He knew where the line was.
That's what his brother's going to need to learn a little bit.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah.
So if it makes that transition better and it's going to entice Rob Gronkowski a little bit, then yes, I'm in.
Better way to tight end position? Have Gronk, who doesn't want to play a ton, Martellus Bennett, who doesn't want to play a ton. Then you draft a guy in either the first or second round to get him some reps. And they're not going to be upset that the young kid wants to get reps. They're going to be able to grow. He's going to be able to grow under two strong tight ends. That'll be the perfect situation for the Patriots.
And I want to say this. I'm not convinced that Martellus Bennett wants to come back yet. I'm not convinced of it yet. So he posted a video of him working out.
Yep, squatting. His legs look thin. He looks in shape.
Where did he post that? On Twitter? On Instagram?
It was on his own Twitter.
So I would say this. Does he do that regularly? Is that something he does a lot?
No. Nope. Usually it's about the books and stuff, like his kids' books and Imagination Agency and all that.
When do they get tested for the recreational drugs?
Anywhere between March and the beginning of camp.
What if he signed in, like, I don't know, after the beginning of camp? Would he be tested immediately?
Probably, yeah. Yeah. Yes.
So you're saying cycle up now.
Well, it's his Instagram feed is full of that stuff, too. So.
Weed. He's talking weed. Smoking weed.
What is it? What do you need, 28 days to clear? Hardy. Yeah,
30 days.
30 days? 35? Not that you know, but.
How do they test for that in the league?
You have to pee.
Urine test? You could beat that no problem.
You drink a lot of apple vinegar. Flush it right out of the system.
A lot of things you can do.
Apple cider vinegar, and you go get this thing called clean tea at GNC, and you suck on pennies.
Yeah. I'm sure the sucking on pennies is foolproof.
Oh, yeah, look at that. He just likes to post pictures of himself smoking joints. Nothing wrong with that. It's just that the league frowns upon that, which is stupid rule to begin with.
Yeah.
This stupid league wanting to test for marijuana.
Yeah, Josh Gordon's coming back to you.
Oh, what a dumb league this is when it comes to that stuff. They need to get over that. Get over yourself, NFL. 617-779-0985. We'll get right back to your calls. I see you holding there. We got a couple open lines.
Hang on, people.
Why don't we do that next? We're talking about Michael Bennett.
Mandated fund, 1150?
Yeah, we're going to get to Zoe's mailbox at 1150. Zoe got the mailbox.
A hell of a story.
We didn't have time to get to it yesterday. We do have time today. We'll do that coming up.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
See store for details.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
Gotta wonder if the Patriots are gonna do something big today. You got to wonder. 4 o'clock is the official open of free agency.
Oh, we'll wonder.
And maybe they're waiting for the official start. Right?
Waiting for value.
DJ Tully tweeted us and said, check Martellus Bennett's timeline. Under a picture of his brother in a suit, he put, looking good. Someone then asked, what would it take for you to play with your brother? And he replied, not that much. So if he's also going to come in cheap, well, then I'd also be for that, too. 617.
But that's not the kind of move you're referring to when you're wondering if the Patriots are going to do something big today.
No.
No.
That qualifies
as a big move.
You know what's big today?
Like, Golden Tate would be big.
Golden
Tate would be great.
Maybe bringing in Ndamukong Suh. You never know.
I saw that. Who suggested that?
Ooh.
Did you? Was that you in a text? Who said that in a text message? Someone say that somewhere?
Maybe someone's saying something about it right now.
Let me pull an Adam Schefter here. Oh, let me take this call.
Hold on.
Someone said that. Was that in our notes?
There was some interest there prior to him going to the Rams.
I feel like
kicked the tires a little bit on that one.
I feel like someone said Ndamukong Suh.
I wouldn't hate that.
He's going to be huge money, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, but instead of committing that type of money,
you can have the all a-hole defensive line.
Oh my God,
Ndamukong Suh, Michael Bennett. We'll hate all of them.
It's just
we'll just hate the whole group.
That's what you want.
Call James Harrison up, see if he's available too. Bring him back.
Yes,
John Randall will be the despicable D line.
That's what you want. That's what you want. You want to get in an offensive huddle and have those linemen turn around, look over, and go
despicable D men.
He's not. Ndamukong Suh isn't an a-hole. He's a sociopath. It's different.
Oh. Crazy.
Okay. Zoe wanted home wreckers last year, remember?
Yeah, I want a home wrecker.
Bring a home wrecker. They never got one.
He's a home wrecker.
Even with Trey Flowers, I never viewed him
James
as a
home wrecker.
Yeah. Sue's a home wrecker.
Crazy.
Let's go back to your calls. 617-779-0985. Frederick in Norwood on Le'Veon Bell's contract with the Jets. Hi, Fred.
Hey, guys. Three quick things. Justin Coleman was the worst cornerback I've ever seen play for the Patriots.
He was so bad. So bad.
He was terrible. Le'Veon Bell, I think, while he might have lost some money, made the right decision because I believe his long contract with Pittsburgh was only $14 million guaranteed. So, you know, they have all control. And then
but that's when you tag him. They offered him 5 years, 70.
Yeah, that was the tag last year. He got a 5 year, $70 million offer.
But they
sure
tagged him twice because he turned it down.
It was only 14 guaranteed.
Okay.
Maybe.
You're right.
No, you are. Okay.
So, I don't know. He just doubled his guaranteed money. So
but he also said goodbye to $14 million last year. You know what I mean? So take that, subtract that from this overall guarantee.
Last year, then he says goodbye to, what, $20 million? Because it's 36 guaranteed now, 22. You know, that's all I'm saying.
There is a point in there that it's more guaranteed money, but less money overall.
But here's another question, too. Wonder what that guy weighs right now. You see Manish Mehta saying supposedly there was rumors he was 260-plus pounds? Already, when he was at Michigan State, he was a big back.
Yeah, so he was
big legs. He trimmed down and got more dynamic with the Steelers.
But he's listed at 225. That's his playing weight.
You remember when we went back
and
looked
at 205?
Because I was speaking, I thought, like, you know, using hyperbole when they said he would carry the ball 40 times a game at Michigan State at that size. He literally carried the ball a couple of occasions.
I remember us looking up
times
we
a
looked
game.
Up his
I remember us looking up his carries year
career
to year.
Carries, yeah.
When you look at both his NFL carries and his Michigan State carries, it's insane.
46 or 47 carries in a game once.
Oh, God. By the way, it was Matt Chatham that suggested Ndamukong Suh. Yeah, he tweeted it out yesterday. He said, not saying it's happening. I'm just scanning down the list of still available NFL free agents and thinking the Patriots with a surprise signing of Ndamukong Suh would definitely cause the most pants pooping.
It would.
That's what he tweeted.
That'd be fun.
Let's go to John, who's in Seekonk. What's up, John?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, John.
Hey, cool question for you. So we definitely need to go get Golden Tate. How do you think that's going to affect Julian Edelman's contract? Will all these slot receivers make big money? That's one. Definitely go get Sue. We need some big splashes in free agency. And what do you guys think about the Pats going after Blake Bortles? There's been some reports that there's some trade interest on both sides.
Yeah, I'm. You know what? I would not trade for him. No. No trade.
No.
If he's cut, then I'd be interested.
No.
But trading for him?
No. Not a need right now.
No. Mm. But if he's available, I'm all about it.
Yeah, something worth looking into if he's there. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going out of your way.
Mm-mm. No, he has to be a free agent.
Yeah.
No, and who's going to trade for him?
Well, you want my picks? But you give me picks and him.
No one's, and no one's taking on his money or his, no. He has to get cut. That's how that happens. Golden Tate would be good. Ndamukong Suh, I just don't see that happening. I don't see that being a thing that they're going to do. Tom in Worcester. Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
What's up?
Not much. I heard you guys talking about Lev Bell as a bad move for the Jets. I don't agree with that. I think, first off, the cash is reasonable. I think they learned last year from Kirk to not offer a huge contract. And the Jets have been, you know, adding defense, drafting defense for what feels like the past 10 years. They finally have a good young quarterback on a cheap deal still. And, you know, they need to surround him with as much talent as possible and win some games for once. I think it's a better allocation of cash instead of paying, you know, Barr, whatever it was, 15 a year to try.
You would rather have the running back over having Barr come from the Vikings.
I would, yeah, because I mean,
Barr wouldn't leave the Barr
would leave
the field.
Never going to see eye to eye on things then, ever. Or we'll never agree on football related things.
You look at it as a good deal and smart money. That's like, and who's Kirk?
Well, see, the deal is not bad. It's a palatable deal. It's not a horrible deal. It really isn't. It's not going to crush them. It's not going to put them in any sort of a bad position because they signed him to this deal. No, it's not even about that.
See, I look at the way, too. Connor came in and played last year for them, and I'm like, okay, who's calling the shots for the Jets? What's the offense? What are you really doing? Are you going to be in gun? Are you going to be in this pistol?
You did the
right
thing.
Are you going to line up and get under center?
You did the right thing going after Anthony Barr 2 days ago.
Yeah.
You did the right thing, and you got credit for that, at least for me.
Do you think Le'Veon Bell's good for culture in that locker
room?
No. Another a-hole.
No.
The original. Hey, he's the original a-hole in Pittsburgh. Where do you think Antonio Brown got his brain rolling on something?
I'm not going to go, it's a stupid contract for the running. No, it's just that it's a running back. You were smart 2 days ago to go after Anthony Barr. And, yeah, you don't control that. He turned around and went back to his old team. That's not on you. But you could have kept spending on that side of the ball.
By the way, we're looking at Le'Veon Bell's last year at Michigan State, 2012.
Yeah.
382 carries in 13 games. Plus, he had 32 receptions, so 414 touches over 13 games. And the opening game against Boise State, what did he have, Jim?
44 carries and 6 catches. 50 touches.
Like, the next highest guy on the team in terms of touches is at 48. He was in 414 plays.
He averaged 32 touches a game for the season. You know, 32 per game.
If I could just use a word to describe that, I'd say he was active. Paulie in the truck. Hey, Paulie, heard you got hung up on the other day by Felger.
Hey, you're back in your slot.
I approached him like a gentleman again. I squared up on him again. He kept giving me a shot. Tony was happy to hear me anyway. Tony laughed the first thing I said.
Hey,
you guys are friends.
Anyway. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Anyway, Gronk will be back, boys. Don't worry. He's going to be back. He's going to the better end with Brady. Besides, the next two Super Bowls are in Miami and L.A. in case we make it to kill him not to be on the field. The Bennett Flowers swap in terms of value, the bang for the buck, the team wins that deal hands down. Come on now. Free agent signings, you got to have your nose tackle. We got to have our nose tackle back. Kenny Shelton's up and running. He's still got plenty of gas in the tank. He's not going to pull the same crap that Branch did when we re-signed him. You got to sign him, and if not Malcolm Brown, then you got to bring in Jernigan, I'd say. No one Pierre Garçon. I never really liked him much, but I always did like Carr, and he plays outdoors in Green Bay. He's the guy. I think you want to grab him, but I think Tom Brady has dreams of back shoulder throws to Tyrell Williams.
I'd like to have that as a takeaway today, if we could just put a bell after every time he names somebody. Just that's a lot of names.
I'm on board with every single thing he said.
I want a name counter.
Except for Shelton. I don't care if Shelton's back.
Okay, if you had to pick between Danny Shelton or Malcolm Brown coming back, I'd pick Danny Shelton.
No, but he said Jernigan. I love Timmy Jernigan.
Yeah, well, yes.
Of course you did.
What?
Of course you do.
He's down on Pierre Garçon. Has Pierre Garçon been linked to the Patriots?
Not a French kid?
Not no, but there's so few receivers out there.
That there's so few left that everyone is on
I'm in on
list.
Cobb. Randall Cobb, all in.
Yeah, I like Randall Cobb.
I'll take Cobb.
If you're asking me Randall Cobb versus a return for Philip Dorsett, give me Randall Cobb. There's more upside there. Versatile player, too. Versatile. Scott from New York has Jets thoughts today. Scott.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey,
how are you?
Hey, what's up?
How are you? Listen, I do business up here every 2 weeks, and I'm always listening to you guys on the radio.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, obviously I'm from New York. I listen to Sports Talk, Michael Kay. I listen to Mike Francesa.
Yeah, we love the pump.
You guys are criticizing the Le'Veon Bell deal. It's amazing. They have a 3-year window because Sam Darnold's obviously a rookie quarterback. Like the previous
you talk really fast.
Ago, said the same thing.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Yeah, you talk really fast. Yeah. You're New Yorkers.
You're like that guy
fast.
In that airline commercial, yeah. The Southwest commercial.
Yeah, hold on. I'm on Bluetooth. Hold on 1 second.
There we go. Okay.
Any better?
Yes.
Yeah, ooh,
nice.
That okay. Slowed you down, yeah.
No. Yeah, thank you. No problem. So basically, Sam Darnold is on a rookie quarterback. Is a rookie quarterback, so they have $100 million to spend. So they try to get that guy Barr. Obviously, he reneged on his deal, so they went to Minnesota, which is fine. They also have C.J. Mosley. So what's wrong with putting that money towards Le'Veon Bell? He's a dual threat. You know, he would have led the Jets last year in receiving from the stats of 2 years ago.
Well, you get that you going for
him. Who's arguing that? I've already said this today.
He's top two players.
You're going to pay a running back.
Top
at least
two
they've
player.
Got a versatile player here. Yeah. He's not just a running back.
Money. They have the money anyway. It doesn't hurt.
I'm not saying it's a bad deal. I don't think the money's exorbitant. I don't think it's a bad deal.
The money, you got to spend the money.
I just wouldn't spend it on a running back. I'd keep spending on that defense.
But I understand, but he's a different type of running back because he does both.
New York, does he play defense?
And don't you think that Sam Darnold is a good weapon for Sam Darnold? They got to put as many weapons as they can around Sam Darnold. Plus, they got C.J. Mosley. They got Jamison Crowder. They got that offensive lineman. I mean,
yeah, they get that offensive lineman. That's right.
Year.
Okay, your phone stinks. Yep. We're going to let you go, Scott, but appreciate the call anyway.
Love the New Yorkers. It's like across the street hosting.
And he's not wrong to say that they should put talent around Sam Darnold. I'd put more focus on the passing game if I were the New York Jets because they have a real quarterback. That kid is really good.
I love him. I think
that kid deserves. I'd rather, if I were them and I was going to say, I'm going to spend some money on offense, I wouldn't be spending it on Le'Veon Bell.
Right.
He's great. He was great 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whenever in his career. I would have spent more. I'd prefer, if I were the Jets, to spend it on a receiver than spend it on Le'Veon Bell. Freaking running backs. You don't win with running backs. Nobody wins with running backs. Nobody. It's nice. They're nice to have. They're a nice little tool to put in the toolbox. It's not the winning formula.
I got to talk real fast. He comes up here twice a week.
29-109-319.
Oh, my God. Hey, Jim.
He was more Mad Dog than he was Francis.
Yeah, he was definitely more Mad Dog.
Did the Pope say anything about OBJ trade? Because like, he's a big Manning guy. He's quarterbacks. Remember when Francis said, I don't care what you got to do. We just got to get Peyton into the Jets. I don't care what you do.
He said yesterday, just before the end of his show, I guess, about a couple hours before the trade, that because of the contract he signed last offseason, he was unmovable. They wouldn't be able to trade him.
Oh. Well, unfortunately, that didn't end up being true. I love it, though. The New York teams love their running backs. Saquon Barkley with the Giants, and now Le'Veon Bell with the Jets. We'll see what that results in for either of those two teams.
Call me in November.
Down the road. 617-779-0985, the telephone number. Josh Rosen, we just talked about Blake Bortles as a possibility for the Patriots. Josh Rosen could get traded if the Arizona Cardinals decide they want Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray got measured up at his pro day today.
Oh, he did?
That happened. Yes.
How tall was he?
He did not get measured. He got weighed.
Oh, sorry.
He wouldn't measure his height.
He got weighed. He wouldn't measure the height. Oh, what?
Oh.
He was pulling tricks at the combine.
And if the rumor is he's not going to run. He still weighs 205. If he's not going to run.
Oh, he better run.
If he's not going to run at 205. If he runs a 4.3 at 205. He's going to be the number one pick.
All right, so there's some questions there, but if Josh Rosen is to get traded, could the Patriots be in the mix for that?
No.
And is Josh Rosen the next Steve Young? You might say, what the hell are you talking about? It's not my take. I don't think he's the next Steve Young, but he could be.
But a case could be made.
A case can be made that he's the next Steve Young. We will explain that.
Another pompous dick.
We'll explain that next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
7-4 loss to the Blue Jackets in Columbus last night for the Bruins. Tuukka Rask didn't make it out of the second period. 5-1 was the score when he got pulled. That ended a 16-0-3 run that Tuukka was on. Next up, the Bees will be in Winnipeg tomorrow night. NFL, you're officially beginning at 4 o'clock today. Deals all over the place. Giants trading Odell Beckham Jr. to the Browns. Le'Veon Bell signing a 4-year, $52.5 million contract with the Jets. Celtics off again tonight. They'll host the Sacramento Kings tomorrow night. And yesterday, Dan Shaughnessy told us of a new sponsorship with the Red Sox in Fort Myers. There's going to be a sponsorship opportunity coming up here that I guess it's signed off on. Here in Boston, Nuna, the leader in luxury baby gear, announced a partnership to become the official stroller of the Boston Red Sox. That's right. Nuna is now your exclusive partner in the Boston Red Sox in the stroller and car seat categories. Congratulations. Headlines are brought to you by Wendy's. Made to crave cheeseburgers delivered through DoorDash and discover new flavors to crave. Delivery available in select markets at participating Wendy's. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Get your headlines anytime on your Alexa voice activated speaker or right here in 30 minutes.
So and the Beatles. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
So Kyler Murray had his pro day today and refused to get measured height-wise, which leads me to believe he was pulling some funny business at the NFL Combine.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Getting stretched out, getting some traction done on that spine, you know, giving himself...
I think he was hanging upside down like
yes,
a bat.
Yes, yeah. Giving himself a little boost. Mm. You know, those. You ever seen those chairs? You can, like, get in the chair and it goes up, it goes back.
Yeah.
And they... pull you apart, you know?
Yeah.
Sort of make it a little longer temporarily.
That's
definitely what he had going on. He wouldn't get his height measured again today because he's a short quarterback. When we were talking about him a couple weeks ago, I mentioned Steve Young is a guy who was over 6 feet but was still short. Josh Rosen, the quarterback in Arizona. If Arizona goes for Kyler Murray, they'll likely trade Josh Rosen, probably move on from him.
Didn't they sign Brett Hundley?
And then Jim Louth put this in our notes for today's show last night. Just did some background research comparing Steve Young and Josh Rosen. Very interesting similarities. Maybe I would consider trading for him. So, Jim, you've been out on Josh Rosen, right? You don't love the idea.
Yeah.
Zoe hates Josh Rosen.
I don't want Josh
thinks
Rosen.
There's no value in getting Josh Rosen.
When people talk about a player so much and they pump him up and pump this and that, like, and you're the guy, you either are the guy or you aren't. I don't need people telling me what you're
doing. I'd do it for a third. I'd take a look. But this is the comp. This is the comparison. He might be Steve Young. Might be. Steve Young was 3-16 as a starter with 11 touchdowns and 21 picks in Tampa Bay.
I remember when he got his ass kicked.
Yep. While completing 55% of his passes. Josh Rosen is 3-10 as a starter with 11 touchdowns and 14 picks while completing 55% of his passes. The statistics are remarkably similar.
That's nice. If I would have stayed healthy in 92, I may have been 3-10 too, and maybe I'd have been the next Steve Young.
Ray Perkins was the newly hired head coach at Tampa Bay and did not want Young to be his quarterback in 1987. Quote, "A scrambling lefty wasn't his cup of tea," Steve Young says. Perkins quickly determined his new team would use its number one overall pick in the draft to take Miami's Vinny Testaverde, a non-scrambling righty. Newly hired head coach Cliff Kingsbury has been rumored to not want Rosen as his quarterback for 2019. Talked about Kyler Murray back in October, saying, quote, "Kyler is a freak. I would take him with the first pick of the draft if I could." From a profile of Young, Steve Young has the soul of an artist. He is extremely sensitive, perceptive, and a bit shy. These qualities are both his strengths and his weaknesses. For while Young possesses enormous sensitivity to his feelings and those of others, that same sensitivity can cause him to hold back and repress his considerable talents. The criticism of Josh Rosen going into the draft last year was that he's too mild-mannered, that he's too intelligent, highly intelligent. And it's almost a curse for him.
Didn't he play tennis, too? He's a tennis player.
It also seemed like he didn't love football enough.
Yeah.
Is there a comparison to be drawn between Steve Young and Josh Rosen?
It's a completely different player, anyway. One's a scrambler. One's a run-first guy that's athletic.
No. Not what they are as quarterbacks. Just the circumstances.
The situations.
We could do 20 of these.
My problem is you could find, like, 20 other guys who have been drafted, were busts, yeah. Didn't work out, and then never became any. I fail to see the connection. I do. Despite the similar stats, despite having coaches that they don't want, that don't want them, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're different because of the way they came out too. Young came out, it was the like number one guaranteed number one pick.
Like Young is.
Then he decided to go to the USFL.
Young's problem was timing. Yeah. And then decision making and going to the USFL and then getting stuck behind Montana all those years. Rosen's sort of been handed it.
No, but he sucked in Tampa. He was not good there. He had a horrible team.
He was bad in the USFL, too.
Yeah, Jim looked up his USFL stats. He was bad there, too. So what he's saying is not all is lost for bad quarterbacks. What about Blake Bortles? Could Blake Bortles be considered a potential reclamation project?
I don't think anybody has said he's too smart to play football. No, okay. Nobody.
No, you're talking about the personal characteristics are similar between the two guys. Smart and sensitive.
Bortles wasn't one of these like high profile quarterbacks either. Rosen was a stud. High profile.
Rosen was a stud as a freshman and sophomore. I liked Rosen more at the early part of his career.
Steve Young was a stud as a senior at BYU.
But if Steve Young had come out of the draft a year earlier and was in the mix with Kelly and Marino and those guys, then he wouldn't have been considered the same. He would have been just like Rosen.
That's true. That part's true.
That was a unique quarterback draft last year.
I just think there's nothing that would tie the two together that you could say the same track could be taken. And you could say this about any guy who hasn't worked out yet in the NFL. Oh, it could turn out to be Steve Young.
Well, the coach just gives up on him because he doesn't want to give him a chance because he likes somebody else better.
Has that happened?
Like
before?
Ray Perkins came in, and it's not because of what Steve Young did. It's because, you know what? I don't like a scrambling quarterback.
Listen,
I'm
going
to go get Vinny Testaverde.
Here's the deal. They could be, okay. So their circumstances to this point have been, let's say they're exactly the same. Same personalities, same situations. Why does that mean that Josh Rosen's going to work out?
It doesn't.
Okay.
But nobody knew that Steve Young was going to work out either. He was terrible in the pros up to that point.
I just don't know what you use this for. To say what? That there might be a chance? Of course there might be a chance. He's only been in the league a year. I don't even count the year against him. You count Josh Rosen's year against him? No. I know you don't like him to begin with.
No.
Would you count it against him if you were another team?
No.
And thought he could play?
No. You think
I wouldn't
bad
hold
team.
That against him?
I'd blame the damn GM.
I'd say your team sucked. Your coach sucked. So we're going to give you a shot. We liked you coming out of UCLA. We're going to give you the shot that we would have given you had we drafted you. So I don't think the year is going to get counted against him. But Kyler Murray would not get measured today. He'd only give a weight measurement today. No height.
That's a red flag.
He was cheating on the height. That's right.
I think that his height was inflated.
How about that?
Maybe it's the tinfoil hat theory. I just don't see it. If he refuses to measure at the pro day, that will be telling.
I agree.
Here he is at the pro day, not getting measured.
His big thing is a little bit undersized, but he's fast and he can run and he's such a good thrower, but he's such a dynamic player. If he doesn't run today, that's another indicator for me.
By the way, I've been waiting for a week now for Mike Florio in Pro Football Talk to get all over Dan Patrick. Why hasn't that happened yet? They got all over Charlie Casserly. They wrote story after story about how horrible Charlie Casserly is. How come he hasn't written about Dan Patrick saying that yet? Just curious.
Maybe. Well, Patrick was relaying, I think, something from a scout.
Oh, what was Charlie Casserly relaying?
He wouldn't reveal a source.
So what? What's the difference?
Dan Patrick's not training guys for the combine.
Or Dan Patrick maybe has a relationship with Florio or previous relationship with
Florio's
NBC.
Florio's asked
is now
and
expiring.
Requested to get a list of all of Casserly's clients that he's trained for the combine as part of this whole thing.
I'm just wondering why he hasn't put the screws to Dan Patrick yet for saying something like that.
That's a good point.
Because he has no conflict of interest.
I started laughing my ass off yesterday because I went down the wormhole watching all this free agency stuff, and NFL Network did a fantastic job yesterday. But they brought in Charlie Casserly here, and he looks down, and he's flipping through his papers here, and I'm going through all this stuff, and I'm looking up, and he's got this part right down the middle. It looks like he had his hair dyed 5 minutes black before he went on. You know where you put too much dark in?
No,
yeah,
I've never done this.
A young guy here. I look like a whippersnapper here.
Cole Beasley, I go with what we said earlier. Why don't you throw the guy the ball more? I tell you what, Dez Bryant, they threw the ball too much to him last year. Get Beasley more involved. I don't know why they can't do
that. Happened 3 days ago or 2 days ago. He said they threw the ball to Dez Bryant too much last year.
Oh, the guy,
Charlie,
with the,
he wasn't on the team.
The
last
guy was
year.
In New Orleans with a torn Achilles.
Oh, yeah. Let's get back to the matters at hand. Serious matters like Zoe getting his mailbox fixed.
Oh, that's a good one.
He wants to tell us the story. He'll do it next.
Zoe and Beetle, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yeah, that's one of the...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
So tell us about the mailbox. If you don't know the story, during the snowstorm, what, last week, 2 weeks ago?
Yep. Mailbox got taken out by a jackwagon plow guy working for the town. Found out that
he was doing his job by plowing the streets.
Yeah, he's contracted out by the town.
And the heavy, wet snow knocked over the mailboxes on your street.
8 years ago, law changed, or a policy.
I'm sorry, law?
A policy.
22 years ago, law. Federal law.
Town policy changed 8 years ago. Prior to that, the town would come out and fix the mailboxes that were knocked over due to plows or errant plowing. Or drunk plow people. That's the way I like to call it. And they would come out and fix your mailbox. 8 years ago, that stopped. And
why? Why did they stop that?
Because they feel that you're responsible. You're responsible for your own property. And it's not the town or the contracted plow guy's responsibility to go around and fix mailboxes.
Assuming, Hardy, they did not hit the mailbox with the blade of the plow and it was just with snow that they were clearing from the road.
That seems to
I can understand their policy on this one.
So, I mean, we get pissed when people come to the house. Like, unannounced, you show up and I ring a doorbell. It's like Sunday, and in my skivvies upstairs, like, ding dong. It's like 8:05. Like, who the hell's at our door at 8:05? And so Amy goes down first. She's like, some guy at the door. I'm like, guy? I'm like, who the hell is this? I'm hurry up, put on my jeans, run downstairs. The hell, I open the door. And it's a man by the name of Hugo. Nice man. He says, I am here to fix your mailbox. Here to fix your mailbox. I said, mailbox? Hold on. So I shut the door. He goes, hey, did you call somebody to fix the mailbox? Somebody's here to fix. She goes, no, I didn't call anybody. So I open the door. I go, well, who called you to fix the mailbox? You're here for the town. He's like, no. I work for fence company. I drive around. I can fix your mailbox. I have the parts. And I'm like, you're full of it. You don't have the parts. I went to Walpole Woodworkers and bought this specific mailbox. He's like, yes, it's Tyvek. The good stuff. And he's like, I got all your parts.
Tyvek?
Or whatever it is, ASAC, or whatever the hell the name of that decking is. And I said, you don't have the parts. I said, it's specific. I said, I already called.
They made the mail.
I already called. I got an order.
Had a Tyvek house wrap.
It's going to take me weeks to get these parts in because it comes as the whole package. And when you order the individual parts, it takes a while to come. He goes, you come with me. Come. I go, I got to see this. So I go out to his car and he opens his trunk. And I go and get the busted parts up to match it. And I said, holy Jesus, he's got the parts. He's got the actual parts. That's how you get these parts. He said, I work for a fence company. I do everything. Put the fence in, I put this, I do the water, and I work for cash. I said, sweet. I said, I'm cash guy.
I'm a cash. Well, I'm your man.
I go, how much you need to fix mailbox? And we came across the price, and
I
lowered
the price?
It down. It was high.
What did he ask?
What did he want?
$200. Fix mailbox. Perfect.
$200 for $1,000 mailbox, as Zoe like to tell us?
Let's come back downhill a little bit. I said, about $100. He said, what about $150? I said, done. And it was like American Pickers, like when they dig through the barn, they find something. Like, and you come up, but you got to break the seal. You got to get him. Then I get his card, and the neighbors come over and go, how you get that? And he got another guy over there going over to fix the other. He had the exact freaking parts, like the same lattice, everything, the stanchion that holds the mailbox, the part on the back that clips on and you have to screw. He actually had the original screws. Same type of screws. I said, I like you, Hugo. Give me your number.
Seems almost a little too perfect.
Yeah, so a little too convenient.
Yeah. He says, and then my cop buddy,
did you ask him how he knew where you lived?
No.
No, he's just probably driving around the neighborhood.
He said he did. He's honest. He said, I drive around after storms. He said, this happens all the time. People break mailboxes. I got all kind of parts.
Right. So he wouldn't he have some sort of motivation to, to see those mailboxes destroyed during each storm?
So my cop buddy that I bitched to and took the pictures, and he called his town buddy guy, and he never got back to him. And he was laughing at our show the other day. He said, when I mentioned Hugo, he said, yeah, that's the plow guy's cousin. It was a joke. It was not his cousin.
Oh, it was not his cousin.
But it got me thinking, like, well, wait a minute. Maybe he is right. And he said, no, I'm pulling your leg, dumbass.
What if he just is the cousin and nobody knows it?
What if he's the plow guy? And this is how he...
Imagine that.
He's a double-dipping Hugo.
He's the plow guy himself.
Hugo the plow guy goes around and plows your mailbox and knocks him off. Then he comes back 4 days later and fixes him and makes you pay cash.
Oh, Mr. Plow, that's my name. That name again is Mr. Plow.
No.
Yeah,
just once. So what's your plan now for the next storm?
Well, we're not going to have any more storms this year.
What's your plan for next year?
I'm thinking about putting the little boulder on each side and make a little garden around the mailbox. Like some guys dig it out and like...
He doesn't get it.
They cope it out.
He doesn't get it, Hardy.
You don't understand what happened. It was not the plow blade. It was the force of the snow hitting the mailbox.
It was
so
such
hard.
Heavy ice wet and snow.
No, a garden's going to protect that.
No, not if you put a little boulder at the edge of the garden.
Oh, yeah. What's
the boulder going to do?
Clip the plow.
It's not the plow blade. I've seen the picture.
I've seen where the mailbox is.
Yeah.
There's no way he hit it with the plow. You could tell from where the snow is on the ground.
So then maybe we put in speed bumps or something because the plows are moving too fast.
What you need to do is to get something that you can build.
Because I had a plow
temporarily.
Guy.
I showed you pictures. They're like
people
barriers.
Do it with pallets or They build little
and let me tell you
barriers.
Something. They are unsightly. You are not going to like how it looks.
I don't like how it looks. May just have Hugo come back.
I mean,
it only happens like once every 3 to 5 years.
Right. So you can build yourself a $600 barrier. Or you can pay Hugo to come out.
Why is it going
to
be
$600? Four times. I'm just doing the math. Let's say it.
As I said, my
let's say it costs you $300, or you pay Hugo for 2 years to just come back and fix it.
This is like the Le'Veon Bell thing. Like he passed all this money up, leaving it there on the table, where he could have Hugo come back at half the price.
And you say no more storms, though. Somebody tweeted earlier. Dan Roach retweeted somebody that on this date 1 year ago. Get over a foot of snow. I do not remember.
I don't recall that.
I don't remember it either.
I said that to Tom.
1 year ago today, we got hammered.
I believe it.
Probably. I believe it, but I don't remember it.
I try to block those things out.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. But it was nice. Nice little service on the weekend there. Just fix it right there. It was done in 10 minutes.
I like the fact that you sent the wife down first to answer the strange doorbell ringing on a Sunday.
Well, I was in the bathroom.
You frequently are.
Hurry up.
Not surprised to hear that.
90 seconds. Yeah, let's go.
Not surprised to hear that. Okay. Hardy has headlines.
You need to go right now?
We'll be right back.
I'm going to hold it.
No commercials here. Why don't you go handle your business?
Nope. 12:15.
Okay. Willie McGinnis on Gronk next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.